119. Shall we stand?
Gracias te damos, Señor, en esta hora porque nos concedes esta oportunidad una vez más de estar aquí en tu casa. Gracias te damos, Señor, por las bendiciones que nos has dado. Te rogamos entonces en este momento, Señor, que tú estés con nosotros para dirigirnos en esta alabanza. Te ruego, Señor, que tú seas el que use a nuestro hermano para hablar de ti. Te ruego, Señor, que perdones nuestras faltas, nuestras equivocaciones, nuestros errores delante de tu presencia. Te rogamos entonces que tú seas el que nos reciba como hijos tuyos una vez más. Perdona, Señor, esas faltas que a veces cometemos. Te ruego, Señor, que tú nos perdones y que siempre, Señor, seamos hijos tuyos. Te ruego, Señor, por cada uno de los presentes, que juntos, Señor, podamos escuchar tu mensaje. Abre nuestro corazón y nuestra mente, Señor, para captar el mensaje de tu palabra. Ayúdanos, Señor, para poder ser siempre fieles y podamos, Señor, dirigir nuestros pasos en el camino del bien. Bendice, Señor, esta iglesia, que lo ponga en tus manos, que cada día, Señor, pueda caminar en la senda correcta, que cada día, Señor, podamos estar unidos para servirte. Bendice, Señor, a todos los padres, bendice a todos los jóvenes, Señor, que cada día podamos buscarte, cada día podamos alabarte. Gracias te damos, Señor, por las bendiciones que nos has dado, por tu amor y tu misericordia. En el dulce nombre de Cristo Jesús. Amén.
Let's continue with the use of number 288. Number 288. Shall we stand again?
Thank you.
Apparently, Brother Steve McGee's sermon last evening touched the hearts of many people, as well as mine. He made a lot of statements in his sermon that I appreciated, but I think one of the things that he said that stuck in my mind is he said, "I need church." And I have found in my short experience in the Church of Christ that everybody in the Church of Christ don't experience that same feeling. I'm sad to say. We have a little lady in our congregation there at Collins, and she has stated many times that she forms her life around church. And I wish that we all could say that, but I'm afraid that we don't. I need church. If it wasn't for church, and even with going to church constantly, I become weak. And I'm afraid that we all do. And I hope that we all can come to the understanding and realization that I need church. As considering some thoughts to say about my brother as I introduced him this morning, I thought of a scripture a few moments ago that probably would introduce our brother better than anything that I could say. I've had some interesting conversations with him at the Missouri reunions and at conference, and find that we share a lot of our discouragements and a lot of our joys and alike when we see people that don't come to church. The scripture that I want to read to introduce my brother is found in the 10th chapter of Romans. And it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good joy." One of the things that impressed me about this church when I first came to the church was the calling of the ministry. And we didn't have one individual preach every Sunday. And we had multitudes of varying sermons. And as you listen to those varying sermons, yet they all tied together. And I have appreciated that throughout the years that I have been in the church. Our brother that I'm about to introduce, our brother and elder Aaron Heath, called of God a preacher to preach the gospel. And if he didn't feel that calling, he wouldn't be sitting here today. And we talked last evening about many times when he is called upon to preach, that God gives him those words to speak and the scriptures to use. And sometimes it offends people, but he uses them anyhow, because that's what he was called to do. Not offend people, but preach the word of God. And help us to realize that I need church. So I ask that you give your careful and your prayerful attention to our brother and elder Aaron Heath as he would bring the bread of life to each of us.
Thank you very much, brother. I appreciate those words, and I'd like to say good morning to everyone. Nobody wants to say good morning to me, huh?
Good morning.
Thank you. That makes me more feel at home. Sometimes I like a little bit of assistance up here from our brothers and sisters. And it's so good to be introduced in such a manner, because he's touched on the very things that I will be bringing out this morning. What do you do when your car runs out of gas? You just sit there, right? You go to the filling station to get filled up, right? Because you're out of gas. So you got to get gas, so you go to the gas station. Well, brothers and sisters, it's time for a fill-up. Spiritually. And where do you go for that?
Church.
Thank you. I think we all know that. But this morning, well, let me start out. I just want to go into the Book of Mormon, first of all, on page 762, if you have your Book of Mormons with you.
Just start out with a couple verses there. It's Moroni, the sixth chapter. And I'm just going to read 1 through 6. It says, "And now I speak concerning baptism. Behold, elders, priests, and teachers were baptized. And they were not baptized, save they brought forth fruit meat, that they were worthy of it. Neither did they receive any unto baptism, save they came forth with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and witnessed unto the church that they truly repented of all their sins. And none were received unto baptism, save they took upon them the name of Christ, having a determination to serve him unto the end. And after that they had been received unto baptism, and were wrought upon and cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost, they were numbered among the people of the Church of Christ. And their names were taken, that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God." Why? It goes on to tell us, to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who was the author and the finisher of their faith. And the church did meet together oft to fast and to pray and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of the bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, we've heard a lot of testimonies this morning already of the things that have been brought out. And if you can picture in your mind, I know most of us have been to buffets before, and they've had all these different types of food set before us and everything, and an abundance. If you could picture the church as this table that the Lord has set before us, and as you picture that, imagine that when you come to church and you hear a minister give a message, that is one little part of that spiritual feast. And like the reunions, I like to consider that as a spiritual feast, because we have all these different ones that will come before us and feed us spiritually. I don't know what part I'm bringing today, whether it's the meat or the potatoes or the fruit or the vegetables, but I'm glad to be a part of that. And each one of us needs all these things. We need all these different things, and the Lord has given each one of us to be a little bit different, so that you don't get the same thing over and over and over and over. Each one of us brings something a little bit different, and we're in need of each one of those things, not just one of them, but all of them. And if you're not here, you don't get that, do you? And as our brother, when he introduced me, stated about, yes, we get discouraged. The ministry definitely gets discouraged when the people say, well, yeah, I don't need to come to church all the time. I don't have need of that. I'm sorry, but brothers and sisters, we do. We do have that need, so that we can get the fruits and the vegetables and the meat and all these different things that we need. And we can't just get it from one message. We just get little bits from each one. For each of us are different in our own ways. I would like to go to 162 in the Book of Mormon. It's one of my favorite passages. And it's 2 Nephi, the 13th chapter, and I would like to read, I guess starting with maybe the 24th verse. I guess before I do that, I read something one time and it kind of touched me a little bit. And this little comic thing, it says, you know, one time a man came up to a minister and said, "I never go to church." Maybe you've noticed that. The minister looked at him and said, yeah, I've noticed that, yeah. He says, well, the reason I didn't go to church is because there's so many hypocrites there. The minister thought about that a minute, and he says, well, don't let that worry you. He says, there's always room for one more. Verse 24 says, for the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost, and then ye are in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate, ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son, and ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye entered in by the way, ye should receive. What way is that? That's the way that he has given us, right? It says, and now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope, and of love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way, nor name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. Like I stated earlier, we're all different. Some will let their gas tanks go down to a half a tank only, and they'll get scared and they'll say, well, I make sure I always keep that gas tank half full all the time. That way I never have to worry about running out of gas. And yet then there's others that let it go down to maybe a quarter of a tank. That's kind of the range I'm in, I guess. I let it go down to maybe a quarter of a tank and I don't worry about it till then. And then I go get gas. But then yet there's others that will let the gas gauge go all the way down to almost that empty mark. And that's a little bit scary for me, so I don't like to let it get down that low. But somehow that doesn't seem to bother them. And you know, then there's the others that ignore it altogether, and they run completely out of gas. I guess they don't mind walking or whatever. I walk every day. I hate it, but I walk every day. So I guess I don't want that extra walk if I run out of gas. But anyway, if you think about that, of our spiritual gas tank running out, the more we stay away from the house of the Lord, the more that tank is going to go down. And so we best get back in there and refill that tank, especially before we run out of gas. Because sometimes when a car runs out of gas, it's not good enough just to put a little bit of gas in, because you go back in there and it just don't want to start again. You have to prime it a little bit. And we find the more that we stay away from the Lord's house and away from our brothers and sisters who are a part of that house, we find it easier to stay away from there. And it's harder to come to church. You find other things to take its place, whatever that might be, your enjoyments of life that the adversary has set in place to take you away from the Lord's house. Whether it be a nice big new boat that you just can't wait to get out there on the lake with, or if you're a golfer, you might like to go out and play golf, whatever it is in your life. But whatever that is, consider if that's more important than your spirituality and the saving of your soul. It's so very important to us. I like that first person we talked about that only let their gas tank get down to half a tank, because that means that they're in church a lot more than the other ones. They know what's important in their lives. I read something else off my niece's little calendar that she has there. Every day she has a little calendar and she flips it over and has a little verse maybe out of the Bible or some other things in there. And I just happened to notice this one day. I was by her desk and I read this and I kind of liked it. It says, church members are either pillars or caterpillars. It says, the pillars hold up the church. The caterpillars just crawl in and out. I would much rather be one of those pillars than one of those caterpillars. Because I would like to be one of those who support the church and not just come in and out and try and, you might say, just fill up my tank once in a while and call it good or whatever. But we do more than that when we come to the house of the Lord. We not only fulfill the requirement that the Lord has of us of our reasonable service, as the scriptures tell us, but we do other things also. We strengthen one another, just like we did this morning with our testimonies. One testimony seemed to lead to another, and then another. And it sounds like our brother last night, as he spoke, gave quite a message. It was lingering, and it will linger in the minds of all those who listened to him. Unfortunately, I was not one in the congregation last night to hear that. But by coming to church each and every time that we can possibly make it, it will strengthen us. Sometimes we come and we say, well, I didn't get much out of that today, or I didn't like the way he presented this or that or whatever. But the thing that we have to remember is that we're not coming to see that person that stands up here behind the pulpit. We're coming here for spiritual strength from our God. And he will give that strength to us, each and every one of us. And it's not going to be the same for every one of us. Each one of us will just get this little bit or that little bit out of each one. And that's why we can't just go to church once a year and say, well, there, I'm all filled up. I'm ready to go for another year. It doesn't work like that. And from personal experience, I know that, like Brother Allen stated, I need to have that strength. I need to go to church as much as I can, because I need that strength. I know that the adversary is hard at work, and he is taking all that he can from the Lord's hands. And he'll do anything whatsoever, to get any of us to walk away from the truth. We also, by coming to church, support it monetarily, which is a lower level as far as I'm concerned, but that spiritual strength is what we're really here for. And it helps us not just for like that night when we hear something or that day when we hear something, but that endures. And it helps us over the weeks and the months and the years ahead. If you don't believe me, just listen to the testimonies. The person will say, well, a few years back, this testimony was given. Or 12 years ago, I was called into the ministry. I can't relay my call that the Lord gave me without tears. And each one of us has experiences of the Lord touching us and helping us and giving us strength. You don't get that strength from going out on a boat or riding a motorcycle or whatever it might be you like to do. You gain that strength from coming to the house of the Lord and getting that support from your brothers and sisters in Christ. You get a jump start, if you will. Like that little Energizer bunny on TV you see all the time. You know, it just never quits, that spirit. And I think I want to go to Hebrews here just for a second. In the 10th chapter, just read a couple verses here. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, Verse 24 and 25 It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We know that the latter times, we're living in the latter times. And it says, so much the more as we see this time approaching. That means we have to gather together more and more so that we can bond together with our loved ones and with God, our Heavenly Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ. Why do we have to do that? Because who do you think is sitting right there waiting to devour us? The adversary. And the less we gather together, the more he has put a wedge in between us. I think I want to shift gears just a little bit now. Look, up in the sky, is that a bird? A plane? Oh, Superman. You recall hearing that on TV? Most of y'all heard about Superman, right? And the children especially. It won't be long, brothers and sisters, till we say, look, up in the sky, it's Jesus Christ coming once again for the last time. Are we prepared for that? Will he be happy with us? Or will we be sitting out in that boat on the lake having fun, not thinking about him at all, but maybe some carnal things? Or will we be on the golf course or in the baseball field or wherever? Or someplace less appealing than that, maybe? Have you ever thought about that, where you're going to be when the Lord comes again? I have. I pray all the time he don't catch me in a bad place. You know, it's kind of... I don't know if I like having that... speaker in the bathroom back there. When you're sitting on the toilet and you're hearing the minister preaching up there, I don't know if I can handle that. But it reminds you where you're at. A while back I asked the youth of our local, just the young ones. I'm going to pose this question to you. Who has more power, Superman or Jesus Christ? Maybe I'll say that today. Any of the youth that's 11 years old or younger, give me an answer. Which has more power, Superman or Jesus Christ? Nobody knows. Or else we don't have any 11-year-olds. Thank you. Thank you very much. I got that same response in our local. And it kind of shocked me a little because I didn't think that any of them were listening very much over the past few years. But they were. You know, a lot of the youth coming up now, they don't know that Jesus Christ has more power than a Superman or a I don't even know the characters that they have on the TV and all that anymore. But Superman was able to leap tall buildings at a single bound, and he was able to fly higher than the birds and the trees, and he was able to bend steel with his bare hands. And very powerful. And he was even disguised as a mild-mannered reporter for a newspaper. Boy, that guy was something else, wasn't he? All that, and he was mild-mannered too. Pretty strong stuff, you know. Jesus Christ, he can leap tall buildings if he wanted to. He wouldn't even have to do it. He could just say, I want that person to do it. He could do it. He could bend that steel. God made all these things. So there's not even a comparison. You can't compare God and His Son Jesus Christ to any of these fictitious or false characters that man can come up with. It wouldn't be fair to even put them together. Like my brother Andrew always says, you can't compare apples and oranges. They're not in the same group. But he could do all these things, all these physical things, but what really separates our Savior Jesus Christ from anything else or anybody else is, number one, he's not false. He's not a fictitious character that mankind has come up with, even though some don't know him. Some claim they don't know him, but they will know him in the end, one way or another. Number two, he is the Son of God. Number three, he is the mediator between us and God. I don't think Superman is. That super is starting to diminish now, isn't it? That super word is just coming down a little bit every time we talk about this. And Jesus Christ is the one and the only way to reunite us to our Creator, our Heavenly Father. To know Him is to love Him. Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man, had more than one mission. We heard about one mission yesterday in Brother Joe's message to us. But one of his other missions as he came to this earth was that he was supposed to accomplish, of which he did, was to set up his church. That was one of his missions. And it was one of his large missions, as far as I'm concerned. And I want to turn to Matthew, the fourth chapter. Read verse 16 and 17 first. You know, we've all read these scriptures many times, but I guess until I had the Lord show me these scriptures the other day, I guess I didn't think deep enough about this. But in verse 16 it says, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." You know, we're living in that shadow, that valley of the shadow of death right now. That's this earth. Because we live with that shadow hanging over us, that we can die at any time. We could leave here today and get in an accident or whatever. It's like a cloud hanging over us. And it says the people here, it says, which sat in darkness saw great light. That's because Jesus Christ had come to them. And it goes on in verse 17, it says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And why do you suppose that he'd say repent? If the people then thought that they were doing the right thing, why would they need to repent? There's a reason for that, because they weren't doing right. They weren't doing right. And I hear the people all the time say, well, it doesn't matter which church you belong to. I'm sorry, but it does. According to His word, it does matter. If they were correct at that time, they wouldn't have needed repentance. I want to continue with chapter 7, in chapter 7 of Matthew. Chapter 13 and 14 here. And this is Christ speaking. It says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Didn't we just read that in the Book of Mormon also? I think so. Verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know, some of these scriptures I read in a sermon last week, and after the sermon I was person come up and they said, well, maybe it'd be better if I just didn't come to church. I said, the adversary is winning, isn't he? He's driving that wedge. I says, why are you getting upset? One of the first things she asked me when she come up there, she says, I want to get this right. Did you say such and such? I says, no. I said, Jesus Christ did. If you want to get upset with somebody, you better get upset with Jesus Christ. Let's continue in verse 21. It bothers me because it hurts me to bring forth something that the Lord has given me, like Brother Allen said when introducing me. The night before I gave that sermon, I had asked the Lord what to give. Before I had my prayer done, I had the whole sermon and different scriptures, one right after the other, that I had written down that he wanted me to bring forth. And then to have someone come up and say these things to me, I felt really bad. You know, and you feel bad for the ones that don't want to be a part. And they feel like you're putting yourself way up there saying, well, this is the true church. He has one church. I didn't make the plan. God did. And I'm just a small part of trying to do what the Lord has for me to do. And I told her, I says, well, this is something we're going to have to pray a lot about. And I said, if you can take these scriptures and show me in here where I'm wrong, and whatever church you're going to is correct, I'll change my mind. But if you can't prove it to me in these scriptures, then I'm not changing my mind. In verse 21 it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. How many churches is there out there? About 1,500? And if they're all his church, and if they all preach something different, how can they be his church? They're supposed to be based on his doctrine. We'll get to that, though. I'm getting ahead of myself. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And what does he say to them? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. That rock is Jesus Christ. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. And that astonishes me. They were astonished at his doctrine. What does that mean? If they had heard this doctrine before, would it have astonished them? No. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. There is a difference, brothers and sisters. There's a big difference. And how do you find that church? The church that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, first set up and then restored to earth once again in the latter days for the last time? How do you find that? First of all, you study. You study His Word. And much prayer. Much prayer. And come to church. Maybe some of you have never went to another church. I have gone to different churches in the past. And when I heard some of the things that was brought out, I knew that it was wrong. Because I said, where in the world, where did he find that? Because if you read these scriptures and pray about it, you'll know whether it's right or not. If you don't believe there's a difference, just go back and read those verses we just got through reading. We need that spiritual food to fill up our tanks with. And we want that super premium grade. We don't want that cheap no lead that I got to use in my car. We got to have that super premium so it don't ping on us, so it don't sputter, spit and sputter, so we don't crawl in and out. We got to have something better than that. We want the premium grade. We don't want to just cruise along life's highway and thinking all is well, because all is not well. Because there's going to be a time of reckoning. We want His Spirit. We want to be filled with His Spirit. You know, I was thinking about it a while back, and have you ever hugged anybody's arm or leg? There's not much gratification in that, is there? Usually when somebody comes in that has been gone for a long time, you go up there and you give them a big hug, right? You don't run up there and hug their arm. You don't run up there and hug their leg. You get that full hug, that big bear hug. And that's what the Lord wants of us. He wants His children to come to His house so that He can embrace them. Not with just on the arm or the leg or whatever. He wants to give us that full hug. And that's what I want. I mentioned before, I wish there was a little spigot that we could put on the bottom, like on our ankles, that we could just turn that spigot, and then all the bad things that we have within ourselves can just drain out. And then turn that spigot again, be filled with the Holy Ghost. You get replenished. Because that's the way that the Lord would have us. And that's the way that we can receive the fullness of His Word. I hope I haven't taken too much of your time. I was going to go a little bit longer this morning, but I think when you said what you come to say, that's it. God bless you.
Let's open our books to number 318. And I hope that our tanks have been refueled. Or maybe they're half full now, and by the end of the reunion we'll have them totally full. And let's keep them that way. 318. Shall we stand? Thank you.
Gracias te damos, Señor, en esta hora porque nos has concedido esta oportunidad, una vez más, de estar en tu casa. Gracias te damos, Señor, por las bendiciones que hemos recibido. Gracias te damos por el mensaje de tu palabra que tu Hijo nos ha expuesto. Te rogamos, Señor, que lo confirmes en nuestra vida. Te rogamos, Señor, que podamos servirte fielmente hasta el fin. Gracias te damos, Señor, porque tú siempre estás con nosotros para ayudarnos y darnos las cosas que necesitamos. Te rogamos, Señor, que bendigas a esta iglesia. Lo pongo en tus manos, Señor, para que pueda estar siempre más unida delante de tu presencia para servirte, para siempre, Señor, unidos estar delante de ti. También te rogamos, Señor, una bendición especialmente por los alimentos que vamos a participar. Te ruego, Señor, que tú seas el que devuelva en grandes bendiciones, Señor, la fuente que ha proveído, Señor, estos alimentos. Gracias te damos, Señor, porque siempre nos das el pan de cada día y también tú se los des a los que no tienen. Gracias te damos por todo en el dulce nombre de Cristo Jesús. Amén.
Thank you.